You still need to do a little hider, even though the rabbi is mochlein kvodo. And we're trying to figure out why that should be. Why should it be that even if the rabbi is mochlein his covenant, even though we pass him kvodo machol, you still have to do a little hider, which Rashi means you should like look like you're getting up, you want to get up a little. So we weren't sure what this far is. Why should I still have to do hider? The Meiri seemed to say because it's proper to show that, like, I know it's only because of mechila. You know, I know this isn't the real thing. Okay? I don't know if anyone has any other theories why this is. Everyone tries, all the achronim are bothered, try to come up with a theory. Like, where do we get this idea that you have to do hider if it's really machol? So maybe just proper to show that you know that it was machol. Some achronim want to say that maybe even when he was mochel, you know, there's like an umdina. You think he was only mochel partially. You don't necessarily know if he was mochel entirely, so you still do a little hider just in case he wasn't mochel entirely. Could be. Some achronim want to say that even though he's mochel is kavod, there's a separate isser of mevaze talmud chacham, and if you don't even get up at all, that's a bizayon, and so you're still not allowed to be mevaze talmud chacham. And okay, it's a bit of a stretch though. I mean, who says not getting up at all is a bizayon talmud chacham? Who says maybe he wasn't mochel entirely? Everyone tries to come up with a theory as to exactly where this chiyav hider comes from. But we still want to know if we can find another theory. There's another strange thing about this chiyuv. What about your father? Does this also apply to your father? If your father's mochel is kavod, do you also have to give him a little hitter, right? Your father says, I'm mochel. You don't have to stand up for me. Do you also have to like pretend to like try to stand up a little? What do you think? Does it apply to your father also? So the Ritva says, is the Ritva here? The Ritva says, "V'helchza ha'av o harav o anasi shemachal akvoda kvoda machal ella dehidur boy." Yeah, your father also have to do a little hider. The Meiri also said you have to do a little hider for your father. The Kitzer Piskei Arush also said that. What is the Kitzer Piskei Arush? After the Rush, his son wrote up a Kitzer, just a main psakim of the Rush, the main maskanos in a short form, and the Rush himself didn't say anything. But when his son wrote up the Kitzer Piskei Arush, he said it applies to your father also. But what's strange is that if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre Perek Vav Halachaches just says Av Shemach Lakvodo Kvodo Machol, but in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Halacha Yud Aleph, there he said Harav Hamovik Shiratz Alimchol Lakvodo B'Chol Dvarim Ha'ilo Be'Echmei L'Chol Tamidav Le'Echmei Him Rishus B'Yado V'Yaf V'Shemachol Chayiv Talmud LaHadro V'Yafilu B'Shas Shemachol. Shulchan Aruch says essentially the same thing. So the Rambam Shulchan Aruch says you still have to give hider to your Rebbe even after he was mochel, but don't say you still have to give hider to your father even after he was mochel. So we have two strange things. A, why taka do you have to give hider even after your Rebbe is mochel? We're not sure. There are some theories out there, but we're not sure. B, why, according to the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, do you have to give hider to your Rebbe after he was mochel? But they never say you have to give hider to your father after he was mochel, unlike the Ritva and the Meiri and the Kitzer Piskei Arush. Why do the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch only require this for a Rebbe, not for a father? C, the third thing we have to figure out is go back to the Lashon of the Rambam. If you just look with me, Perek Ha'alach Yud Aleph, where the Rambam brings down this din. Harav ha-muvhak sh'rotza limcha l'kvodo v'chol advar me'ilu. The Rebbe muvhak, who wants to be mochel is covered in all these things, o be'echmeim, or in one of them, l'chol talmidim, to all of his talmidim, l'echmeim, or to one of his talmidim, harishas b'yadu is allowed to be alfi shamachal, even though he's mochel, chayiva talmud lahadro, the talmud still has to give him hider, v'afilu b'shash shamachal, even after he was mochel. The Rambam says, rav ha-muvhak. What's a rav muvhak? What's a rav muvhak? What? Taught you Torah. Your main Rebbe, you taught you most of your Torah. Why does the Rambam say your main Rebbe? Why doesn't he just say any Rebbe? Why does he say Rav HaMuvak? So, in the Kesef Mishnah set here, he addresses why Rav HaMuvak. Kesef Mishnah says, HaRav HaMuvak Shrata Limchol, etc. Perakamad Dikidushin, Pligi Rav Chis Rav Yosef. I Rav Shemachal HaKvodo Kvodo Machol Olo. The Machlokas we saw Rav Chis Rav Yosef, where the Rav Shemachal HaKvodo Kvodo is Machol. Rav Yosef Amar De Machol, Rav Yosef says it is. Umaisi lami Hashem olech lifneihem, and he brings a raya from Hashem olech lifneihem. V'chevin diolch mehaikra. Since he brings a raya from Hashem being mochel, alma dafila b'rabba mochel kaskinan. Must be if even Hashem can be mochel, then Hashem's our rabba mochel. He taught us everything. So if even Hashem can be mochel, then even a rab mochel can be mochel. So according to the Kesef Mishnah, why did the Rambam write in Rabba Muvak, Harava Muvak, that you not only can a regular Rebbe be Mochel, even Rabba Muvak, even your main Rebbe, can still be Mochel. Not only any rabbi can be Mochel, even your main Rebbe can be Mochel. Afilu Rabba Muvak. That's the Kesef Mishnah. However, the Brisker Rav in his Chidushim here wanted to say an entirely different shot in the Rambam. When the Ram, and answer up all the questions, when the Rambam wrote Rabba Muvak, he didn't mean even Rabba Muvak, he meant Davka Rabba Muvak. Davka, your main Rebbe, has this idea of Rav Shemachal HaKvodo Kvodo Machal Vafilo Hachi Hidr Mi Baile. Why Davka? What's unique about your main Rebbe? And the Brisker Rav points out that the Rambam had a completely different shot in this Gemara. If you read the Rambam Meduyik, if you read the Rambam carefully, he seems to have had a completely different shot in the Gemara than everyone we've been quoting until now. Just review. Everyone we've been quoting until now says basically Mechila works. You just need a little symbolic hiddur. Right? And why do you need a symbolic hiddur? We're not sure. Maybe just to show you know about the Mechila. Maybe just not to be Mavaze. Maybe just in case he wasn't Mochel 100%. Who do you need to give a little symbolic hiddur for? Well, everyone. Whether it's a father, whether it's a Nasi, whether it's a Rav. Just a general rule. Whenever someone's Mochel, you still need to give a little symbolic hiddur. The Rambam seemed to have interpreted it a little differently. If you look at the Rambam, this is in Perek Hei Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam has two prakim about Kavod HaTorah in Hilchas Talmud Torah. There's Perek Hei and Perek Vav. Anyone know what the difference between the Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah Perek Hei and the Rambam Perek Vav is? Exactly. The Rambam Talmud Torah Perek Hei is about the Kavod of your Rebbe, of Rabba Muvak. Your main Rebbe, you have special obligations towards him. In Hilchas Talmud Torah Perek Vav, it's about the Kavod of Talmidei Chachamim. You have an obligation to be Mechabe all Talmidei Chachamim. What are some of the differences? In Perek Hei, he says, for your Rebbe, you have certain special chiyuvim, like you have to put him before your father, because your father only brought you to Olam Hazeh, but he brought you to Olam Haba. So if he needs something, your father needs something, he comes first. And you're not allowed to argue with your Rebbe. Not allowed to argue with your Rebbe. If you argue with your Rebbe, it's like arguing with Hashem. We have to see what arguing means. It doesn't mean you can't ask a kasha. It means you can't have a competing yeshiva. And you can't paskin in front of your Rebbe. And you can't call your Rebbe by his name. And you can't all these different dinim of what you can't do. You can't sit in your Rebbe's seat, etc. You have to stand up for your Rebbe whenever you can see him, even if he's far away. All these different dinim about the special covenant for the Rebbe. The Rambam says, when does this special covenant for the Rebbe apply? For Rabba Muvak, that you learned Rov Chachma. Those are special chiyuvim for your Rebbe. How about for a regular Talmud Chacham? Do you have all these special chiyuvim for a regular Talmud Chacham? If a regular Talmud Chacham wants something and your father wants something, do you have to give the regular Talmud Chacham first? As a matter of fact, do you ever have to give the regular Talmud Chacham soup or donuts? Do you have to not argue on a regular Talmud Chacham? Do you have to like not call him by his name? What do you think? Do you think these dinim apply to every Talmud Chacham? Of course not. If I know someone who's a Talmud Chacham, I don't have all these special. I'm allowed to argue with him. Sure, I'm also a person. Right? I don't have to be a chabid him. I don't have to get him what he wants. I'm allowed to call him by his name. Right? I can call Rabbi Sobolovsky by his name, even though he's a big Talmud Chacham. So, a regular Talmud Chacham, what dinim apply to a regular Talmud Chacham in Perek Vav? Anyone know? What dinim apply to a regular Talmud Chacham? It's a pasuk. Mipnei seva tokom vadarta pnei zakein. What do you have to do for every regular Talmud Chacham? What? You have to stand up for him. You have to stand up for a regular Talmud Chacham. Not like your Rebbe, you stand up if he's at the other end of the field. Only when he's right next to you in Talad Amos. When a regular Talmud Chacham is standing right next to you, right? If a regular Talmud Chacham comes over to me, I have to, right, standing right next to me, I have to stand up within my Talad Amos. So now let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, where did the Rambam put the din of Rav Shemachal HaKvodo Kvodo Machal? What, Perek? Where's the Rambam put this din? The Brisker Rav points out Perek Hey. The Brisker Rav says, the Rambam puts this in Perek Hey. What does that mean? The Rambam puts it in Perek Hey, not Perek Vav. The Rambam was medayik in the Lashon. Didn't say Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal. Tosfos in Zvachim assumes that Talmud Chacham and Rav is all the same thing. Machal Kvodo Kvodo Machal. The Rambam says, no, it never says Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal. It says Rav Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal. If your Rebbe is Mochel, his kavod is Mochel. If your Rebbe is Mochel, the special kavod that he gets for being your Rebbe, It's like your father. He gets special coverage being your father. He doesn't get from everyone else. If he's mochel, then you don't have to. Have my father. Let's say my father's mochel is covered. Do I still have to treat him with covered abrios? What do you think? Of course. He's mochel, his special relationship with me that I owe him covered for being my father. He's still a human being. I still owe him covered abrios. My Rebbe, if he's mochel, his special relationship and chiyuv from me for being my Rebbe, kvodo mochel, he's mochel as chiyuv of being a Rebbe. But he's still, even though he's mochel as chiyuv of being my Rebbe, he's still a Talmud Chacham. Even though he's mochel perik hey of Talmud Torah, the special covenant of being my Rebbe, because look, I owe it to him for being my Rebbe. So he can be mochel the debt. But a Talmud Chacham is not something I owe him. It's just an objective status. He's objectively a Talmud Chacham, and objectively you have to have a certain level of kavod for a Talmud Chacham. So the Rambam, the Duyik in Perek Hey, he writes, a Rebbe wants to be mochel any of the things I've mentioned about being a Rebbe. If I'm your Rebbe, you're Rabbi Muvak, you're not allowed to argue on me. You're not allowed to open and compete in yeshiva. I can be mochel. You're not allowed to call me by my name. I can be mochel. You have to stand up. If you're here and I'm at the other end of campus, you have to stand up for me. I can be mochel all those chiyuvim if I'm Rabbi Muvak. I can be mochel all the special relationship with Rabbi Muvak and say, I know I'm your Rebbe, but I'm mochel it. All these things, the Rambam says, kol, the Rambam says, hadvar ma'elu, these things I mentioned in Perek Hey. But I can't be mochel the chiyuv of b'pnei vata kum v'adar t'pnei zokin, the chiyuv of standing up for Talmud Chacham, which is in a different parak, the Rambam parak vav. He just says, ha'elu, these things, the status of Rebbe, I can be mochel, Rabba mother can be mochel. But a stam Talmud Chacham or a stam Rav can't be mochel his level of kavod of the basic, b'pnei sevata kum v'adar t'pnei zokin. And the Brisker Rav points out, the Lashon is very meduyik. In parak hey, what's the word we use to describe the covenant you owe your Rebbe? Ramam, it's on the sheet. Perkei Alach Aleph, Kishem Shad Metzuvah Chod Aviv Yerasso, Kachu Chai Bechbod Rabo V'Yerasso Yeser Me'aviv. For your Rebbe, you have a chiv of what two things? What does he say? For your Rabbe Mavak, what two things do you have a chiv in? Kavod and Mora. How about for Stam Tamu Chacham, Perek Vav, Ramam Helchus Tamu Torah, Perek Vav Alach Aleph, Kol Tamu Chacham Mitzvah Leh, Lehadro. You don't have a chiv covet and mora for a stam Talmud Chacham. You have a mitzvah of hiddur for a stam Talmud Chacham. How do we know from the Bible that you have a mitzvah of hiddur for a Talmud Chacham? It says, b'pnei seva takum v'hadarta p'nei zakin. And we know a zakin means not just an old guy, a zakin means a Talmud Chacham. Right? It's a kainim in the Chumash. It always means Talmud Chacham. Doesn't mean just an old guy. So v'hadarta p'nei zakin. For your Rebbe, you have a chiv kibud and mora. Like your father, but bigger. For a stam Talmud Chacham, you have a chiyuv of hiddur. Now the Rambam's reading the Gemara very meduyik. What does the Gemara say? Harav shemachal al kvodo kvodo machal. Kavod is a special obligation you owe your Rabbi Muvak. He can be mochel on his kavod. But what do you still owe him? Even if he was mochel being your Rabbi Muvak, he's still a Talmud Chacham. What do you owe a zakein? A Talmud Chacham? Hiddur vahadarta pnei zakein. Filohachi hiddur ba'i mevedle, the Gemara says. For the Rambam, the Brisker Rav points out, it's very meduyik in the Gemara. It's obvious why there's still a chiyuv of hiddur. So he can only be mochel the kavod. Never said, harav shemochel al hiduro hiduro mochel. Only the kavod is mochel, not the hiddur. And kavod and mochel for the Rambam are halachic phrases for two totally different concepts, which he puts in different prakim. Kavod is what you owe your Rabbi Muvak as a personal relationship. Now he can be mochel. Hiddur is the chiyuv you have for every Talmud Chacham. It's not a personal relationship. It's not something to be mochel. It's just a din. You have to be mahadir talmid chachamim. And of course he can't be mochel hiddur, because that's not based on his relationship with you. So therefore, for the Rambam, everything in the Gemara makes perfect sense. We ask for the Rambam, why should there be a chiyuv hiddur if he was mochel? The answer is pashut, he was mochel as kavod. Which means, as a Rabbi Muvak, he gets kavod, and he was mochel as kavod. Now he's not a Rabbi Muvak anymore. But he's never mochel the hiddur. Hiddur has nothing to do with being a Rabbi Muvak, just the Talmud Chacham. I still owe him hiddur, and that's why hiddur b'avi mebed lay. We ask, why is this rule of hiddur b'avi mebed only apply to a Rav, not a father? It's pashut. Your father isn't necessarily Talmud Chacham. Who says your father knows a lot of Torah? So if your father's mochel is covered, there's nothing left. You don't owe him anything. But your Rebbe, by definition, if he's your Rebbe, he has to also be a Talmud Chacham. How could he be your Rebbe if he's not a Talmud Chacham? So therefore, if your Rebbe is mochel is kavod, he's still a Talmud Chacham, so you still owe him hiddur. But if your father's mochel is kavod, then lav davki is a Talmud Chacham. Most people's fathers aren't Talmud Chacham. And therefore, you don't owe him anything, because there's no other than basic kavod habriyah, so being a human being. So that's how the Brisker Rav said, the Rambam read our Gemara, not like Rashi. So hiddur doesn't mean a little symbolic act. Hiddur means the rule of standing up when he's within your Dalet Amos, right? Like Rava was holding, picking up a cup within their Dalet Amos. The rule of standing up when he's in your Dalet Amos, of the Pasuk, if they say a talk about Darta Pnei Zakein, you still have to do. So even if your Rebbe's Mochel is Kavod, you still have to do one thing, which is stand up when he comes into your Dalet Amos, because he stole a Zakein, Vahadarta Pnei Zakein. So we then have, it's a really a beautiful Hesber of the Rambam. This is one of these amazing Rambams where he doesn't really say very much. He sort of just quotes the Gemara, but in the diak of his Lashon, if you read exactly where he writes it and how he writes it and where he writes everything else and you tie it into the other Lashonos, you look, you say, Mochel Kavod, Chayiv Lahadro. You go back to the beginning of Perek Hey, you see the word Kavod. You go to Perek Vav, you see the word Hiddur. You put all the Rambams together and you get a beautiful pshat in the Sugya, because this is how the Rambam really wrote his Mishnah Torah. It turns out then, Lamaisa, there are two nafkaminas between the other Rishonim's shot and the Rambam's shot. Each shot has a kula and has a chumra. On the one hand, the Rambam has a bigger chumra. Why? Because for the Rambam, even if your Rebbe's mochel is kavod, you still have to stand up when he comes right next to you within your Dalet Amos. But for the other Rishonim, you just have to move your body a little to make a symbolic action. You don't actually have to stand up. Because for the Rambam, it's a full chi of Adarta Pnei Zakein. For the other Rishonim, he's mochel the Kavod Talmud Chacham. You just have to do a little symbol. So the Rambam is more machber for your Rebbe. You have to do a full standing. Well, the other Rishonim say, just symbolically show that you respect him. On the other hand, the Rambam is more makel for your father. Because the Rambam says, for your father, assuming your father's not a Talmud Chacham, then you don't have to do anything after he's mochel. Well, the other Rishonim would say, no, anyone who's mochel, there's still a chiv to do a little symbolic action. So there would be both a kula and a chumra on both sides of this issue. Okay, this basically ends. We get into a little tangent. Av shemachal akvod, rav shemachal akvod, it all turned out, getting back to kibbut av, right? Nafkamina, kibbut av. Do you have to move your body a little when your father comes in? If he's mochel, most fathers nowadays, I think in our community, I don't know about other communities, but in the modern Orthodox community, most people don't believe in people standing up for them. So it's an umdana that all fathers are mochel, their kids standing up for them in our community. So the nafkamina would just be, but you still have to move your body a little to show symbolically that you'd like to stand up for him. So according to the Rambam, no. Hiddur is only about Darta Bnei Zaken. If your father's not a Talmud Chacham, there's no such chiyuv. But according to the other Rishonim, yes, because whenever there's a mechila, you still have to do a little hiddur. So that's one nafkamina, and this really ends the sugyas of kibbut avim. What's the definition of Talmud Chacham? That is actually, you know, it's not at all a small question. What's the definition of a Talmud Chacham? In other words, when you have to mehadar, v'hadar tov nezakin, what's the definition of Talmud Chacham? Is a big machlokes Rishonim. It's really a tremendous sugya. If I recall correctly, the Ramah says, I think it's on the sheet, is it? No. The Ramah says, in Simon Reish Mem Hei, I think, of Yordea, that for these purposes, a Talmud Chacham is someone who knows enough Torah that you could learn from them. Meaning he makes it somewhat subjective. You know, if this person knows enough Torah that you could go to their shir and gain from going to their shir, then they're a Talmud Chacham. So it might depend on who you are. So, you know, I don't think he means the person might theoretically teach you one thing. Anyone in the world could theoretically teach us one thing. He means the kind of person who you could go to their shir and learn something from. So it doesn't even, you know, he also makes it sound like it has to be like a little bigger than you. So you have to, you know, it's, Talmud Chacham might depend on exactly who you are. Okay, now I think that's it for Kibbut Avim, and we're going to skip to the very end of the Masechta and learn and some, both hopefully some basic lamdas, halacha lemaisa, of Hilchos Yichud. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the second to last Mishnah, if I recall correctly, no, third to last Mishnah, in Maseches Kiddushin, talks about the Isser of Yichud. It says, Lo Yisyachid Adam Shtei Noshim, Avol Isha Achz Misyachid Shtei Noshim, that's going to be our next topic, two next topics, big sugyas, right, one man and two women is an Isser Yichud, but one woman and two men is a Heter Yichud. So it deals with the Isser of Yichud. Now, before we get into the details, which will be our two next topics, what about one man and multiple women? What about one woman and multiple men? Before we get into that details, we have to know the Yesod Hadavar. So the Gemara has a funny way, we'll have to see if this means anything, has a funny way of getting to the Yesod Hadavar. If we just skip for now to the Gemara and we'll come back to the Mishnah, my taima, Tanid Velyo, what's the reason it's usher for a man to Yisyached with two women? Tanid Velyo taught, Hol v'noshim dait in kalos aleim, because women dait in kalos. Now even that is a big machlokes we've shown what that means that we'll have to get back to in our next shiur. But somehow women dait in kalos, they have weak, soft minds, whatever exactly, we're not sure exactly what that means. We'll have to figure out, it'll be a big machlokes. Somehow women are weaker and therefore there's more of a problem of one man with two women. We'll have to see. Big naftaminas, the machlokes we've shown them exactly in what way women are soft, which makes this isser. Then the Gemara is Menani Mili. Taka, how do we know there's an isser yichud at all? Why should there be an isser yichud? So the Gemara seems to darshan it from a pasuk. Amr Yochim Shmuel Shmuel, remez liyichud in the Torah minayin. Where is there a remez to yichud from the Torah? Meaning it doesn't say before in the Torah someplace, do not go alone and with a woman. But it's a remez from the Torah. Shenemar, really it's talking about Mesis. Ki yisitzcha achicha v'nimecha. When your brother, the son of your mother, meaning your maternal brother, attempts to seduce you into worshipping Avodah Zarah. He tries to convince you to leave your religion and join some new idol worship. Obviously you shouldn't listen and you should kill him, v'chuli v'chuli. So we're just asking obvious kasha. Chi ben eim mesis ben aveinu mesis. Why say achicha ben imecha? Why do you have these extra words ben imecha? Again, we're not asking pashup shot. That'll be later. We're asking al pidrush. Halachically, we learn nothing from the words ben imecha. Why do you need the words ben imecha? Why? Only your brother from your mother, your maternal brother, might try to talk to you into Avodah Zarah. Your fraternal brother from your father will not try to talk to you into Avodah Zarah. It's the same thing. What's the difference? Who cares who tries to talk you into Avodah Zarah? It's always the same din. No matter what kind of relative tries to talk to you into Avodah Zarah, you shouldn't listen. Instead, you should report them to Beis Din, and they should kill them right away. So, why does it have to say ben imecha? So, al pi halachic drash. Hello, lomer l'cha, it's a remez. Because what does it say in the rest of the pasuk? Ki yisischa chi ben imecha, ovin cho, vitecho, eish, vitecho, orecha, asher knaf shecha, baseser leimor, nel chav navdol Elohim achimir shol yadata tavo v'secha. It says, how is this going to happen? The Torah describes just the derech ha'olam. Again, it's no nafkamina between the halachs and mesis, whether it's in public or private. But the normal way of the world is that if someone wouldn't have the chutzpah to try to talk you into worshiping Avodah Zarah in public, they get you in private when no one else is around. They could really have an influence you and try to bring you off the derech, lead you off the derech and teach you about Avodah Zarah. It says, baseser, you are in yichud with someone, hidden with someone. So the remez is, el olomer lecha, ben misyachidim imo, vasol misyachim galara, yoshebe Torah. Ben imecha baseser, that's the drasha. A son with his mother could be hidden away in a locked room, could be baseser, a son could be beyichud with his mother. You're allowed to go with your mother into room all by yourself, beyichud. What's the chiddush? I'm allowed to go with anyone. I'm allowed to go with Jason Vigelstein to Yichud. I'm allowed to go with Ari Sullivan to Yichud. What's the Chiddush? I'm allowed to go with my mother to Yichud. So the Chiddush is, because my mother's one of the Arayos. So the Diyuk is, I'm allowed to go with my mother to Yichud. And likewise, I'm allowed to go with my daughter to Yichud. It's the same basic idea. But I'm not allowed to be in Yichud with any other Arayos. Like if I have a sister-in-law, or I have there's a married woman, or any of these other Arayos, or I have a daughter-in-law, or any of these other Arayas, I'm not allowed to be in Yichud with them, only with my mother. So we'll have to see who counts similar to my mother, but only with my mother, not with any of the other Arayas. Let's take the most obvious case. I could be in Yichud with my mother. I can't go into a room by Yichud with an Ashes Ish, with a married woman. That's the remez for Yichud from the Torah. Now the Gemara just asks, Shpashte decried Mike Siv, but what's the Pashup shot of the Pasuk? We understand this is the Halachic Drash. Well, this is the Halachic Drash, because Pashup shot of the Pasuk is like, doesn't teach us any halachas. So, since the pashup shot of the pasuk doesn't teach us any halachas, we have to have a remez to teach us a halacha. But still, what is the pashup shot, Taka? Right? Every pasuk has to have pashup shot. So the answer is, Amar bai lomi bai ka, Amar lomi bai ben av desani le va'itzle itzos ro, so lafil ben indi lo sani le imatzaisi le ka mashmalan. Right? It says, pashup shot of the pasuk is just talking about realities. Right? The pashup shot of the pasuk is just trying to give musr. Right, again, halakhically, you don't need to give someone musr not to worship Avodah Zarah. It's obvious that it's usr. But pasuk shat, the Torah is just giving you musr, saying, even if someone tries to hook you into it, don't listen. Don't worship Avodah Zarah. So what's the chiddush? I might have thought, What would a regular person have thought? If my fraternal brother who shares a father with me tries to talk me into worshiping Avodah Zarah, of course I won't listen to him. I know that trick. If we have the same father, we have to split the Yerusha someday. So he wants me to worship Avodah Zarah, so I'll get killed by the Bezdin and he'll keep all the Yerusha. So of course I'm not going to... If someone related by my father's side tries to talk me into Avodah Zarah, of course I won't listen. He just wants me to get killed so he can have more Yerusha. But if someone from my mother's side of the family, we don't get any Yerusha from the mother's side usually. So if someone from my brother, from my mother's side of the family tries to talk me into Avodah Zarah, then he must be sincere. He must really be looking after my own good and just trying to enlighten me on the path of truth. Because there's no ulterior motive. There's no Yerusha here on the mother's side. So I might think that I would listen to him because he's really doing it l'shma. He's just trying to enlighten me and teach me the right derech in life. So Kamashma, the Torah tells you, even Beni Mecha, even if he's from your mother's side, and he's not trying to pull a fast one on you and get you killed, he's really trying to tell you what he thinks is the truth, you still shouldn't listen because it's really sheker and you shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. That's what our Gemara says. Now if you... Right, I don't know if any of you have this experience. We don't, most of us here don't give the machon chaburas. One of the questions they always ask is, Rabbi, is this really usher from the Torah? Or is this just something the rabbi said? Right, that's something they don't want to keep. So what about yichud? Is yichud really usher midaraisa? Or is it only gzeira d'rabbanan? Based on our Gemara, what would you have said? Is it an iser d'oraisa or gzeira d'rabbanan? What would you have said based on our Gemara? It's a little bit of a trick question, but what would you have said based on our Gemara? What? You would have said, Jason would have said, Drabbanan. It's Drabbanan. Why? Because our Gemara said, is that the pshat of the pasuk? Gemara said, that's not pshat of the pasuk. Pshat of the pasuk is giving musar. It's just our remez. It's a hint from the pasuk. So it's just Drabbanan, a hint from the pasuk. What do we call a Drabbanan with a hint from a pasuk for a din Drabbanan? Anyone know what the word for that is? It's an asmachta. What does asmachta mean? That half the dinim and shas are like derived from sukkim, but they're not really daraisa. They're just later gzeiros the rabbanan made one day. So why did they tie them into the pasuk? Because they found a remez for them in the pasuk. Right? Unclear exactly philosophically why they did that. You know, is it really that Hashem had in mind a remez because he knew in the future what gzeiros the rabbanan made, or is it just they're trying to tie it into the pasuk to help you remember it and to use principles of association, which in cognitive cognitive psychology are very important for helping people remember rules. We don't know. But there's a concept of asmachta to drabbanan, which ties into a pasuk. So our Gemara seems to be saying asmachta. It's just a remez, it's just a hint. It's not the real meaning of the pasuk. So on the one hand, our Gemara might sound like it's a drabbanan. Would anyone have thought differently based on our Gemara? Right, that seems to be the Me'iri on our Gemara. It has a line all the way at the end of the Masechta. Has a line where he calls this Sheviua derech asmachta. They found it as an asmachta. Then he says, Miderech remez v'asmachta. It's a remez v'asmachta. He certainly makes it sound like an asmachta. Of course, is there another way you could have read the Argamara? Does Argamara necessarily mean it's the Rabbanan? I don't know. I wouldn't have been so sure. I might have been misophic. On the one hand, a remez might be an asmachta. On the other hand, maybe remez just means the drasha of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshma. Maybe remez just means it's not pshat, it's the drasha of the Chumash. A drasha of the Chumash is also d'oraisa, right? Pshat of the Chumash is that when do you start counting the Omer? On what day of the week? On Sunday, Machras HaShabbos. But we say no. The interpretation of the Torah is that Machras HaShabbos really means yontif. That doesn't mean it's Rabbanan, it's Doraisa. Just that's the way we interpret in the Torah. Just because it's only a remez and not pshat, but maybe it's the real interpretation of the Torah. It's just b'derech remez, not b'derech pshat. A lot of Judaism comes b'derech remez. So for our Gemara, I think you would have thought like Jason, I'm admitting, at first glance, you would have thought it's Rabbanan, like the Me'iri says, derech remez v'asmachta. But maybe you could say it's a remez. But a remez means like the interpretation of the pasuk. That's what we're not sure. What does remez mean? Does remez mean just a hint in asmachla? Or does remez mean the midrashic interpretation of the pasuk? We're not sure. So if it just this Gemara, we wouldn't be sure, but I agree. Most people probably would have viewed Jason as say it's an Issa Drabbanan. However, the Gemara in two other places in Shas, one of which is here, right? You look on the side, it says, where else does this appear in Shas? Avodah Zarah, Lamed Vav, Amud Beis. And Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and it actually says Ayin Shum, Ayin Shum. Okay, so if you're a good person, you listen to everything the rabbis tell you, and a rabbi wrote on the side of the Gemara Ayin Shum. You should look over there. So we should look over there. So what does it say in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis? In a very clear fashion, what does the Gemara seem to say? What? De'oraisahi, right? One of these Gemaras, the shorter of these two Gemaras, is on the Daf here. Yichud Nami Beis Dino Shal David Gazru. Say the Beis Din of David made a Gzera against Yichud, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. To Amar of Yehuda, Bo'osa Shah Gazol Yichud. At that time, there goes on Yichud. What is that time? The time of... Anyone want to say in a whisper so we don't remind everyone of what terrible things happened? It's just, what time? Why would Dezin of David have made Gzera against Yichud? What terrible thing happened? They needed to make Gzera against Yichud? What? Amnon and Tamar, right? Don't say David and Bathsheba. That wasn't caused by Yichud, right? She was on her roof, he was on his roof. They were never in Yichud. Amnon and Tamar, right? Amnon pretended to be sick. He told his some sort of sister, Tamar, come into my room alone and give me some food to help make me better, and I'm very sick, and I just need you to help nurse me back to health. And he made this elaborate fake. And then, he unfortunately raped her when he caught her there alone, and there was no one else to save her. So they saw what happens. Yichud, a boy and a girl come into Yichud, and you never know what can happen. So at that time, they made a gzeira, you're not allowed to do Yichud with a girl. So the Gemara says, Umri, this is really brought down in the context of the 18 gzeiros. The Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai made a gzeira against Yichud. Oh, it says, Bezin of David made a gzeira against Yichud, who lived 1,000 years before Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai, or 1,000 years. So Amri Hasim Yichud Bas Yisrael of a Yichud of Ereschavim Lo, David HaMelech only made a gzeira against Yichud with a Jewish girl. Like Amnon and Tamar, only Yichud with a Jewish girl. But David HaMelech and his Bezin never made a gzeira against Yichud with a Goyish girl. Vasu Enu and Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai, Gozer Afilu Yichud of Ereschavim. So we have two stages in Yichud. David's Bez, they made a gzeira Darabanan against Yichud with a Jewish girl. And Hillel and Shammai's Talmidim made a gzeira against Yichud with a non-Jewish girl. The Gemara says, hold on a second. You mean Yichud of a Jewish girl is a gzeira? Yichud Basrael Doraisahi. Yichud with a Jewish girl is not a gzeira. Yichud with a Jewish girl is an Isser Doraisa. The Amr of Yochim Shur Shim Ben Yot Sadek, Ram is the Yichud and Torah Minayim, quotes our Gemara, Shenemar, Kisis Vachich, Vani Mech, Vachim, Vani Mech, 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 It's a real Doraisa. So the answer is Yichud Doraisa, Deish Ish. Mi Doraisa, the Yichud is talking about Eish Ish. Do they mean Davka Eish Ish? Only a married woman's Doraisa? What kind of Yichud is Doraisa? Yichud with a? What? Arayas, like it says, right? It says, call Arayas. Yichud with the Arayas. How do we know what are Arayas? Arayas are those people, well, not so posh, but simple shot. Those people listed in Achrimos that says these are their Arayas you're not allowed to sleep with. So Yichud of Arayas, like your relatives and like a married woman, that is Asur Doraisa. David came made a gzeira even on the yichud with a pnuya, with an unmarried girl who's not a rayas, right? If I stam see a girl in the street, well, not a rayas, she's not married to anyone, she's not any type of incestuous relative of mine, just a regular girl in the street is a pnuya, so it's obviously it's also to sleep with her, but midar rayas, there's no issue yichud, one second, so it's a three-step process, right? So next time they ask you, is Yichud really Asr from the Torah? You say that depends. There are three kinds of Yichud. Yichud with Arayos is Asr Midoraisa. Yichud with a Stam unmarried innocent girl is Asr Midrabanan from the days of David HaMelech. And Yichud with a non-Jewish girl is Asr Midrabanan from a later time from the days of the students of Hillel and Shammai. So it seems to be a pretty open and shut Gemara that Yichud, at least for Arayos, is an Isr Doraisa. And then the Rabbanan just extended it to other girls. Jason? Not in the days of David. In the days of David, unmarried girls weren't neither. In the days of David, right, biology didn't change. But in the days of David, unmarried girls weren't neither 75% of the time. Right? They're only neither a quarter of the time in the days of David, right? What did the Torah say? Remember, we don't know Hilchas Nida yet. All right, maybe we shouldn't know too much of Hilchas Nida yet. But nowadays, most of the time, we assume the way we apply the Din Rabbanan since the time of Rebbe and Rabbi Zeira is that a woman is a nida for almost 2 weeks out of a month. But in the days of David HaMelech, before Rabbi Zeira, the woman was only nida for 1 week. Like it says in the Bible, Shivas Yomim Tiyev Nidasa, a woman's a nida for 1 week. So women only become a nida around once a month. We all know that much biology. So only a minority of the time a woman is a nida. And as soon as that time ended, even if she was single, she would go straight to the mikvah. Why? Because in those days, they had a Beis HaMikdash, they had Kunshin, they had a Paraduma, they kept the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Right? You weren't supposed to be Tumah in those days. They actually kept Tumah V'Tahara. So an unmarried girl, even if she was a 12-year-old girl, well, in that days, actually, might have been married, but whatever, even an 8-year-old girl, who, if by some miracle, became a Nida, and she was had no thought of being married or sleeping with any men, still, 7 days later, she would go to the mikvah, because she wanted to be able to eat truma, or to eat maser sheni, or to eat karbanos, or to go to Beis HaMikdash, or just to touch things, and they wouldn't become tummy. It was very important in those days. So, that's one of the reasons in those days that women wore special clothing when they were Nida. So everyone would know they were tummy, so they wouldn't put things near them. They would touch and make them tummy. It was a big deal. So, now, we'll have to come back to your question, but at least the simple shot of pnuya means just a pnuya. She's not any type of arayas. There's no chiv kareis. That's what the isser is of, we're not sure. Anyone know why taka, if a pnuya in those days was nowadays, all our single girls are nida. But, because they never go to the mikvah. Because, like, why should they go to the mikvah before they're married? We're all tummy anyway, because we don't have a paraduma, so it's not going to help them. And, like, the only reason to go to a mikveh nowadays is to sleep with a man. And if they're not married, then they shouldn't be doing that anyway. So, nowadays, we hold there's an isser. Our minig is that unmarried girls don't go to mikveh. But, in the old days, if an unmarried girl went to mikveh, like Tamar, let's assume Tamar went to the mikveh, right? Al pi rov, she would have not been a nida. So, Tamar was just a regular unmarried girl. What's so bad about sleeping with a pnuya then, if she's not a nida? Anyone? What's so bad about sleeping with a pnuya? What? Close. So this is the machlokis rishonim. The Rambam says in Hilchos Ki Ishos Perak Aleph Halacha Dalid, there's a law that says Lo Siyeh Kideisha. That's why I say close. But Bnos Yisrael, there shall not be just zona is a technical term, which means a certain type of woman is ushered to a kohen, which might have different connotations. I mean, which does halachically have a different getter. But there shouldn't be a kadesha, which means the same thing, a prostitute, whatever that means. There should be no kadeshas among Jewish girls. So that's, there should be no kadeshas. What does it mean there should be no kadeshas among Jewish girls? So that's a big machlokas, what it means there should be no kadeshas. The Rambam says it means you shouldn't sleep with a girl if you're not married to her. The Rambam says it's asur to oraisa. You don't get kares. The Rambam says it's asur to oraisa to sleep with any Jewish girl. So if you sleep with a girl and you're not married to her, that's nus, and that's making her a kadesha. And at least under, you know, the Rambam implies that at the very least if she, you know, agrees wholeheartedly to sleep with you, then she's a kadesha. Even a girl who once agrees to sleep with a guy she's not married to is a kadesha. So therefore, if you sleep with a Jewish girl, you violate an Isser D'oraisa, a lav, a losia kadesha, minos Yisrael. So there's a lav, an Isser D'oraisa, to sleep with a pnuya. And then Bezen Shel David came and made a gzir of Yichud. Don't do Yichud with a pnuya, lest you come to do what Amnon and Tamar did and sleep with her. That's the that's one shot. Not all Rishonim agree. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid says, no, Kadesha only means literally a prostitute. Doesn't mean anyone who, you know, stam girl who sleeps with her boyfriend. So the other Rishonim disagree, and many other Rishonim say it's an Isser Drabbanon of B.S. Penuya. Say, to sleep with another Jewish single girl is not a Nida. The Rambam says Asa D'Oraisa. Other Rishonim say it's an Isser Drabbanon. That there are Goza that you shouldn't engage in this promiscuous type of activity and you shouldn't sleep with a Penuya. It doesn't matter. Nowadays, anyone sleeps with a Penuya is Chayiv Kares anyway, because they're all Nidas. But, at the very least in the old days, when they used to go to Mikvah, so the Rambam would say it's an Isser D'Oraisa. Of Lo Siyeh Kideisha, it's a pasuk the Rambam would say, Lo Siyeh Kideisha. Other people, the Ravid says, no, the pasuk is only literally to sleep with a prostitute. That's the Isser D'Oraisa. But to just sleep with your girlfriend is an Isser D'Rabbanan in the old days. But either way, Bezdin of David made a gzera against Yichud of Pnuya. Whether sleeping with a Pnuya is an Isser D'Oraisa or Isser D'Rabbanan, I don't know. But Yichud of Pnuya is clearly only an Isser D'Rabbanan. That was made by David and Yichud with a non-Jewish girl was made by Hillel and Shammai. So it seems to be open and shut case. Mefurish Gemara, two places, Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin, says Yichud de Bas Yisrael, meaning of an Arayas Bas Yisrael, not of a Pnuya, but Yichud of an Ashes Ish or other Arayos is an Isser de Oraisa. And Rov Rishonim, 90-something percent of all Rishonim, say, look, it's a Pasha Pshat. It's a Gemara says that Isser Daraisa. Rov Rishonim, all 90-something percent, let's call it 95% to 98% maybe of all Rishonim, say, so Yichud is Takan Isser Daraisa, if you're talking about Arayus. Yichud of Arayus is an Isser Daraisa. Tosus here points that out. The Tosus about Nida. Tosus is very bothered by a problem we'll have to come back to. But Tosus is very bothered by one problem. Jason told us, what's one of the Arayas? Nida. Is Yichud of a Nida Isser Daraisa? Is it Usher to have Yichud with a Nida? Well, there's one case where we know it's not. If you're married to her. Right? We never heard that if husband and wife are married and the wife's a Nida, there's an Isser Yichud. Right? They still live in the same house. Right? What if they have no kids? They're the only people who live in the house? So they don't move to different houses when she's a Nida. They live in the same house. So Tosus is very bothered. If you said that it's only an Isser Darabanan, so you would say, okay, the Rabbanan weren't gozer on a married couple. Tosus is very bothered. If Yichud is an Isser Daraisa, what about a married couple? And that's why Tosus asks, Nida she bekaris bala neman oleha. We just trust the husband not to sleep with her, even though they're in Yichud. Tema, the Mashaber came out beating Yichud Daraisa. It says in Abu Zar, it's an Isser Daraisa. Imkain Yichud the Nida minolan deshari. So from where can we be matter an Isser Daraisa that the husband and his wife live in the same house? Should know in the ancient times, to us it seems like crazy. We'll have to see. We're not only to us, to some Rishonim. But in the ancient times, there were many cultures that practiced this. When the wife of the Nida, she would go move to a different house. So why don't we say she has to go live in a different house when she's a Nida? So v'yishlomar davka yichud arayis de'in lam heter dumi debenim imo asur Torah v'al Nida lo midaraisa, they only asered yichud of arayos that are going to stay usher. Like son and his mother are going to stay usher. So anyone else is going to stay usher. There's an Isser Yichud. But Midaraisa, there's a Heter Yichud if she's going to be Mutter soon. The assumption is that, if she's going to be Mutter in another week, so you can hold out for a week. People have patience to hold out for a week. Therefore, there's no Isser Daraisa on Yichud of a married couple if the wife is a Nida. But one thing's clear in Tosos. He keeps saying Isser Torah. He starts with the assumption there's an Isser Daraisa of Yichud. And like I said, Rov Rishonim hold, there's an Isser Daraisa of Yichud. The only tricky part becomes, what is the Shita? The only Rishon who really says explicitly that it's the Rabbanan. Well, explicitly, the Smak seems to imply it's the Rabbanan. But, let's see, the only problem becomes in the Rambam. The Rambam says, this is in Yisrei Bia, Parakhaf Beis. Parakhaf Beis, the last parak of Hilchos Yisrei Bia, is where he talks about Yichud. So he says, Lo nechshu Yisrael Mishkav Zachri al Behema, L'fichin Rosh Yachim Mehem, okay? He points out one other problem. If Yichud applies to all Arayos, isn't Mishkav Zachri, isn't homosexuality one of the Arayos, and sleeping with an animal? So why am I allowed to be alone with a man or an animal? The answer is because, at least for Jews, we don't even think they'll want to do these things. We don't think they'll even want to do these things. Therefore, there's no Isser Yichud. V'im nisrachik, afilu miyichud zach mehem arizim mishovach, but some people even went further, and were misrachik, even from that Yichud. Ugdolecham ha'yimachim na mehem kiloshev z'yachanima. The Isser Yichud Arayus, he ends with, mipi ha'kabbalah. The Isser of Yichud of Arayus is, he says, mipi ha'kabbalah, is just from the tradition. Says it's Bipia Kabbalah. So the question is, what does the Rambam mean? Now the Rambam doesn't say what he could have said. The Torah says when he opens up, an interesting coincidence, not sure what to make of this, the Rambam puts the halachas of Yichud in Hilchos Yisurei Bia Perek Chaf Beis. The Shulchan Aruch puts the Isser of Yichud in Evan HaEzer, Simon, Josh, Chaf Beis. So it's an interesting coincidence. They're both in Chaf Beis. Okay. So the Torah opens up, Simon Chav Beis, and says, Yichud is an Isser Daraisa min HaTorah. The Rambam doesn't say that. He says, Mipia Kabbalah. It's from the tradition. So what does he mean by this phrase, Mipia Kabbalah? And that caused a lot of confusion. No one exactly knew what the Rambam meant by Mipia Kabbalah, from the tradition. Some people seem to understand that the Rambam's trying to say it's only an Isser Drabanan. The Beis Shmuel sounds like this. The Beis Shmuel is the main perush on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Evan HaEzer, right? In the Shulchan Aruch, if you see a page of Shulchan Aruch, there's a middle, and there's two main people on the side, and then there's a lot of other smaller people, not in terms of how much Torah they knew, but in terms of the font size, on the margins and all the way on the bottom. So we probably know maybe in Orach Chaim, there's the Magen Avraham on one side and the Taz on another side. Maybe in Yerodeh, we've seen the Shach on one side, the Taz on the other side. In Evan Ezer, there's a Beis Shmuel on one side and a Chelkas Mechokek on the other side. They only wrote on Evan Ezer. They're different people who wrote on Evan Ezer. So the Beis Shmuel opens up the Siman of Yichud and says, Asher lis yachid b'shas nilma mikra. Gemara learned it from a pasuk. Yisischa achicha ben imecha v'chi ben eim meses v'lo ben av. El remez, the remez ben mis yachid al im imo. The Tosos per kamed Shabbos kos for Yichud midoraisa. Asher v'kach kos of Atur. And Tosos and the Torah wrote that it's mamish midoraisa. V'aramam kos for Yichud min ha-Kabbalah. The Ramam wrote, it's only from the tradition. De'enu el remez mitorah. It's only a remez from the Torah. L'kach in malkinos so el amakas mardos. And he says, therefore, ein makinos so el amakas mardos. If someone violates an issur d'oraisa, what's their punishment usually? Malkos. Right? If someone violates an issur d'rabbanan, what's their punishment? Makas mardos. Makas mardos means the makos of authority, accepting authority, of subduing someone. Meaning, if you do an issur d'oraisa, you get an objective onus of 39 malkos. If you do an issur d'rabbanan, you just get some malkos to bring you into line to help teach you some mussar called makas mardus. So I said it's only makas mardus, it's only a remez. See, the Beis Shmuel seems to understand the Rambam. The Rambam's disagreeing. The Torah and Tosa said it's an issur d'oraisa. The Rambam wrote, no, it's only a remez, only an asmachta, the Meiri says. So the Meiri and the Beis Shmuel seem to interpret the Rambam. It's just mipi HaKabbalah, it's an asmachta in the Torah. It's really just mipi HaKabbalah. That's why you don't get malchus. Yes, the Rambam does say you get malchus mardus. It's not in this halacha, but it's later on in that parak of the Rambam. So the Lavush actually paskins this way. The Lavush, the Sefer, written in the order of Shulchan Aruch, that paskins all the halachos. Mordechai Yaffa. The Lavush paskins that is Yichud is only Nisud Rabbanan based on the Rambam, who says, Midivrei Kabbalah. Oh, what about the Gemara that says, Torah straight out, black and white, Yichud Bas Yisrael Doraisahi? The Achronim say that, no, maybe the Rambam thinks it's only Nisud Rabbanan, it's only a Remez, it's only an Asmachta, it's only an Nisud Rabbanan. When they said the Oraisa, they just meant, since it ties into the Torah, then it's probably an older Gzeira than David HaMelech. It's probably from before the time of David HaMelech. That's all they meant. They meant anything which is tied into the Torah. They probably came up with that Gzeira before the time of David HaMelech. It's an ancient Gzeira d'Rabbanan from the time of the Shoftim, or Yoshua, before David HaMelech. That's what some people want to say in the Rambam. L'chora seems very dachuk. The Gemara says, Yichud Bas Yisrael de'oraisi. I understand it's only remez. But the Gemara says, Yichud Bas Yisrael de'oraisahi. Says it's from the Torah. It's not a gzeira d'rabbanan. So to say that what the Gemara meant is it must be an ancient gzeira before the time of David HaMelech seems like a big stretch. I mean, how did they know it was an ancient gzeira before the time of David HaMelech? Just because it ties into the pasuk, must be from before the time of David HaMelech? And I don't know where they get that assumption from. Seems very difficult. Even though some achronim say this, lovush paskins d'rabbanan. The Meiri says it's just an asmachta. The Beis Shmuel seems to say the Rambam holds, unlike the Torah and Tosa, that it's only d'rabbanan. A lot of people say the Rambam only meant an Issur d'Rabbanan. But that's very dacha, because how can you say d'Oraisa? He just means an ancient Issur d'Rabbanan. Like, where would they have known it was an ancient Issur d'Rabbanan? I don't know, it seems, personally, find that's a little hard to accept. I think maybe an easier way to read the Rambam is that he's not disagreeing with all the other Rishonim. The Magen Mishnah interprets the Rambam and says, V'Issur Yichud Arayis V'Chuli, Perik Ein Mamid, Maskana Di Yichud Arayis Min HaTorah. The Maskana Ein Mamid, and the Avodah Zarah is that Yichud Arayis Min HaTorah. The Magen Mishnah, he doesn't say pshat in the Rambam, but if he just comments, he says, look, the Maskana is that it's Minatorah. Seems to be that he's interpreting the Rambam that way. I think he would read the Rambam and say, what does Mipi Kabbalah mean? Mipi Kabbalah means Doraisa. Who says that Mipi Kabbalah in the Rambam means it's only Gzeira D'Rabbanan? Maybe Mipi Kabbalah in the Rambam means that it's really an Issur D'Oraisa. Why would he say that? Okay, let's come back to that in a second. Now, but first I have another question. This is one of the reasons why some Achronim wanted to say it's only Issur D'Rabbanan. If it's an Issur d'Oraisa, then why doesn't the Rambam count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs? It's an Issur d'Oraisa. Why isn't it one of the 613 mitzvahs? Almost no one counts it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Why isn't it one of the 613 if it's d'Oraisa? So, which is why some Achronim will interpret the Rambam and say it's only Gzeira d'Rabbanan, it's just from before the time of David. So I don't know who it might have been. Maybe Osniel ben Knaz, maybe anyone. Maybe Eyud ben Gera. Anyone who lived before David HaMelech. Maybe Yoshua ben Nun. Could be. So, if it's really d'Oraisa, why doesn't the Rambam count it as one of the 613 commandments? And I think the answer is, found in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam has a very strange philosophy about these things. The Rambam says, in the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvos, he gives 13, I think, maybe 14 Sharashim. He gives the roots of the Sefer HaMitzvos, the basic rules of the Sefer HaMitzvos. And what are these all about? He says, look, I'm going to count the 613 mitzvahs of Judaism. Now, I know I don't really have that much of an argument with people over what's a mitzvah, what's not. 99% of the time, I agree with all the other Rishonim and Gaonim as to what you're supposed to do halachically and what you're not supposed to do. But when it comes to actually counting the mitzvahs, it's very tricky, the Rambam knows. Like, how do you count the 613? What counts and what doesn't? No one's going to say every line of Shas counts as one of the mitzvahs, because then there'd be more than 613. So how do you know what counts as a mitzvah and what doesn't? Not what you have to do, what you don't have to do, but what counts as one of the 613 mitzvos, and what's just a rule that's not one of the 613 mitzvos. So each of these Sharashim, he gives another rule about what counts towards the 613 mitzvos and what doesn't. That generally argues on the Bahag, who he felt broke all these rules. So his first shorish is that anything which is drabanan doesn't count. Of course, he says, I believe in Yisurim drabanan, but they don't count towards the 613 mitzvos, because the 613 mitzvos only count to oraisas. And he argued on the Bahag. The second shorish, he says, Hashorish Hasheni, She'ein Wa'ilim those Komash Lamid Me'achaz Mishlosh She'emido She'ator Nidresh Vahenober Riboy, that you shouldn't count towards the 613 mitzvos anything you learn with one of the 13 midosh and Torah Nidresh Vahem or from an extra word in the Pasuk. Anything which is derived from the Pasuk, you shouldn't count towards the 613 mitzvos. That's what the Rambam says. And this is a unique sheet of the Rambam, which confuses people all over the Mishnah Torah. He points out, we already explained at the beginning of the Parashah Mishnah, Sharov Dina Torah Yotsu, Bishloshe Midos, Shatorn Adreshbahen, Shadina Yotsu Midos, Osana Midos, Hine Paman Tipova Machlokas, Bishayesham Dina Mipurusha Mikabalmi Moshe, Ein Machlokas Bahem. So, the Rambam says that, look, we know most dinim of the Torah are not straight out in the Torah. If most of what we did was straight out in the Torah, we'd be called Karaites, not Orthodox Jews. Most of what we say is not straight out Pashup Shot in the Torah. We darshan it from the Torah using the various rules of darshaning out the Torah. And he says there are two kinds of drushos. Some of those the Chacham argue about, and some of those are straight Mesorah 100% all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he basically said, look, those things that are straight Mesorah all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu are part of the Torah Moshe received on Har Sinai. But those things Chacham argue about, the Rambam Shita, he says, if something was straight from Sinai, why would the Chacham argue about it? And the Rambam says, this is the big machlokas between the Rambam and the many of the Gaonim, such as Shrier Gaon, or Sadia Gaon. Many Gaonim held that everything in Judaism, or rather, I should say, everything which is derived from the Torah is really a Masorah. Every time Chazal darshan something from the Torah, it's really based on a Masorah. The drasha is just tying into a Masorah. Like if Chazal would darshan Machar Shabbos, that it means the day after Pesach, and not the day after, not Sunday, it means the day after after Yontif. They didn't really darshan it from the Pesachim. It was really just a Masorah that Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai that it means Yontif. And then, it was just interpretation of the Pasuk from Sinai. Everything Chazal Darshan from the interpreting into the Pasuk is really a Masorah. Every single thing is a Masorah from Har Sinai. They didn't get anything from the Pesukim. It's just a Masorah from Har Sinai, which then ties into the Pesukim. But everything is a Masorah. That's the sheet of many Gaonim. The Rambam says, no, that's not true. Then why do they argue all over Shas? You're going to tell me they forgot the Masorah and argue what the Masorah was? No way, he said. Mesorah, everyone remembers. There's a few things in Shas that no one argues about. Those are Mesorah. But the rest of the things, Chazal figured out on their own using the Midos HaTorah and Nidreshet Bahem. Says the Mesorah is, what are the Midos? The Mesorah from Har Sinai, that Hashem told Moshe in Har Sinai, he told Moshe in Har Sinai two things. A, the rabbis of each generation get to have the job of interpreting the Torah and everyone has to listen to them. And B, he told Moshe, the way they interpret the Torah should be based on these methodological principles. Kal v'chomer, gzeira shava, and binyan because of echad, and v'chuli, v'chuli, v'chuli. The Rambam says that's all Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai. He didn't tell Moshe every detail of every din and a doraisa on Har Sinai. He just told him, here's the Bible, here's a few things which are you should hand down as Mesorah, and The rabbis have to get everything else based on their human attempts at interpreting the Torah, but they have to use divine methods of interpreting the Torah based on the following modes of interpretation. That's what Hashem told Moshe. It's not close. Some Gonim say Hashem told Moshe everything on Har Sinai. Some Gonim even say he told Moshe the Rabbanans on Har Sinai. But the Rambam says no. He told Moshe on Har Sinai enough rules from which you could derive everything else. But he left it to the Chachamim to derive on their own. So the Rambam says anything which is based on interpreting into the Psukim is only done humanly by the Rabbanan, because Hashem gave them the job of interpreting with the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatar, and Adreshes by him. And therefore, while we are used to, most people are used to two types of rules in the Torah, the Oraisa and the Rabbanan. The Oraisa means it's from the Torah. The Rabbanan means a new rule the Rabbanan made. And most of us would say, what if there's something which is an interpretation of the Torah? Is that the Oraisa or the Rabbanan? What would we call that, generally? Anyone know? What? We would call that the Oraisa. Anything which is an interpretation of the Pasuk is part of the Oraisa. It's the interpretation of the Torah, so it must be the Oraisa. The Rabbanan are only new rules the Rabbanan make. Right? We know the Rabbanan have two jobs. This ties into a few other sugyas. Right? I see we'll have to stop now. Maybe we'll pick up with this discussion tomorrow. Amir Tzashem. And we'll hopefully get a chance to start the new sugya tomorrow, which will involve all these tolsusim and this whole sugya until the two dots. I'm getting into one man with two women. Just for those who don't have to go wait the first shift, I'll tell you a very cute vart there. Right? Savalovsky told me he saw the name of Yaakov Emden, that a third shot and why it says Beni Mecha. Hashif shot is it just means Beni Mecha. He's not trying to get the Yerusha. You might think you should listen. Don't listen. The halachic drash is that should I be misyach with your mother, not with anyone else. So he says, Rav Yaakov Emden pointed out there's even another level of hint in this pasuk. It says, ki yisischa achicha beni mecha, a brother, a fellow Jew, who's the son of your mother, fellow Jew is a fellow Jew from your mother, will try to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah. He says, what'll happen in the future? In the future, there'll be someone who'll say, I'm the son of your mother, I'm related through the mother, but I'm not the son of anyone's father. I'm only the son of a mother without a father. And he'll try to get you to worship Avodah Zarah, that Yashka someday will say, I have no father. I'm only the son of your mother, and we'll try to get you to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Torah already includes a remez, not to listen to Yashka, who says he's Beni Mecha, and not to follow his path of Christianity.